Blog Talk Radio.
This is Saida Garrett, and I'm tuned in to Intro to Info with my girl, Makeisha.
You are listening to Intro to Info with your host, Makeisha from D.C. That's me, open-minded, business-minded, spiritual, a little hood, and very nerdy and down-to-earth. And Queen of Hearts from Florida. She's so ladylike, family-oriented, quick-witted, and a real pillar in her community. On our platform, we discuss anything imaginable, but we talk a lot of pop culture, current events, and speak on our personal life experiences. We interview fantastic guests with unique stories, and Lord knows we just have organic fun. And check this out. If you want to join in on the fun, call in at 515-605-9376. We are live on Saturdays from 9 to 10 p.m. EST on the J. King Network. If you are a nympho for info, tune in to Intro to Info.
I just hope y'all are ready to have some fun today. That's the goal here. Welcome to today's episode of Intro to Info. I am your host, Makeisha Best, broadcasting live from Washington, D.C., saying welcome, welcome. Sit on down. Let's chill. I don't know if you're listening either live or via the archive podcast, if you're listening via the telephone, or if you're listening on the link. But if you happen to be in real time with us here, and you're on the link, and you at any point want to call in, we're at 515-605-9376, 515-605-9376. Write it down. It's no problem to call in. When you do, press the number one. I'm delighted today to have our special guest. Our co-host will be calling in momentarily, but today we're talking to Dr. Carolyn Iskovitz. And I feel like she is right on time because we need to take care of ourselves. And I'm being introspective and talking to my own self and not just work ourselves into a frenzy. So what Dr. Carolyn does is she helps women entrepreneurs that are overwhelmed from balancing their business, their family, and their health to be in control of the decisions they make, the relationships they nurture, and most of all, taking care of themselves without guilt. And this is according to her website. So I really wanted to just have this whole hour with her. So I'm going to take her off of mute. And first of all, welcome you, Dr. Carolyn, and thank you for giving us the hour of your time tonight.
Thank you so much. I hope you can hear me.
Yes, I can hear you. Hey, Dr. Carolyn.
Hi, how are you? Thank you so much for having me.
I'm doing great. I'm excited, and thank you for agreeing to be on the show today. I was doing my research on you, and I didn't realize you have a platform of your own where you have a show. So we'll talk about the show first because that's what we have that in common. Go ahead.
Yes, absolutely. And I love what you guys are all about as well on here. But so I do have a YouTube channel where I promote all about the mind-body connection. That's where my heart lies, just really helping people take care of themselves from the inside out, because I think that's the most important, to be able to show up for ourselves first so we can show up for others, because that's what it's about, at least for me. So that's part of the YouTube channel. I do a Monday mindset, so getting people pumped for the week and really focusing on a quote and a topic. And I have a cooking segment that I do as well, so it's really nourishing the body. And then I interview incredible women, just all walks of life and different backgrounds of entrepreneurship, and just talking about the journey, the ups, downs, everything in between, because it's a roller coaster. And I believe life is a roller coaster, but it's being able to just hear their story, share it, and really giving light to somebody who may be on that journey and not to give up and keep going and really that belief in themselves, but hearing it from different people, I think, is really important too. So that's what the channel's all about, and I've been having a blast. It just started back in January, so it's fairly new.
Who is a guest that is very memorable to you, and why?
Oh, I mean, everybody. It's hard to choose. You know, I'm just thinking, I've been interviewing a lot of people. I think it's such a hard question. Can I give like a multifaceted answer?
Absolutely. Yes, you can.
Okay. Well, I think it's just everybody has such a unique story, and it's really hard to choose for me because I learned something from every single person that I've had the pleasure and opportunity to interview, because I think it's the same basis for everybody. There's been a point in their life where there was a struggle, but they overcame it. And I think it's really just the basis, and the theme is never give up on yourself. You might feel that there's a lot of naysayers or just people that might not believe in you, but it really comes down to believing in yourself. And I think each person has said something of that facet to me and to the audience, and really just striving for that next step and really believing in themselves. So I think, like, overall, to kind of sum it up, I just have really learned something from every single person that I've had the opportunity to interview. And that's what I think it's about, because I can't, like, put a favorite, which is really hard. I know that doesn't really answer your question, but I don't know. I love all of them. I think they all just are so incredible.
So that's good. And the fact that you said that you learned something from all of them, that just shows that you were actively listening to them. Because if you really, Ernest Hemingway said that he loves listening, and not enough people like really listen. Because if you did, you'll see the value in what people are saying. So I really do love the way that you answered that question. And you gave no favoritism. You were just saying that everybody gave me some of their time, and I got something from it as well. So kudos. I want to talk more about, you spoke, the mind-body connection.
I just want to talk about I love it. That's like my favorite topic ever. I think too, just because, like, growing up, I grew up in the gymnastics and cheerleading world, so there's a lot of emphasis on body image, and a lot of individuals around me had really struggled, and personally I struggled a little bit as well. Thankfully, I had very involved parents, so it never became a huge issue. But I think it's so important that we nourish our bodies and our minds, because you can go to the gym and, like, work out, and it takes time to, like, see that physique change. But it's also the mindset. It's mental fitness as well. And I think that's just so key, and not enough people really focus on that. I think as a society, the stigma is reducing a little bit, but it's still very much alive. And that's like a mission of mine, even though I don't practice therapy anymore. I think it's so important to recognize there is nothing wrong with getting help for your mental health. And it's just as important as everything else, because I think the mindset is so key, and that's where everything trickles down from. But I think, like, my love for mind-body connection started in the gymnastics and cheerleading world, and then moving into psychology, my dissertation for that nice little piece of paper, called Me a Doctor, was all about the mind-body connection and learning to mindfully eat. I created a school-based program for kids. And what I learned from just my research, too, it's just our gut is our second brain. And that's what I believe. And, like, there's a lot of research to back that up too, but a lot of people will carry their emotions in their stomach. So they might not be communicating how they feel, what's going on for them. And then they start to have physical symptoms because they're not focused on the mindset too of, like, what's going on there. And it comes in different forms. So I'm such a huge advocate of just understanding that. And I think everybody is so different too. Like, your body chemistry is different. But it's being able to really communicate with your mind and the gut to be able to know what's going on for you internally. And that's why I like emphasize, like, taking care of ourselves from the inside out and really prioritizing ourselves, so our cup is full every day and all the things that overflow go to everybody else. And we just show up more powerfully when we do take care of ourselves. And it's just,
it's not being selfish. It's just being very aware of our needs so we can really be powerful and make impact in this amazing, in changing the world.
Oh, this is great. Now, Queen of Hearts is joining us from Florida. Queen, I did not know that was you on the line because you usually call from another number, but I got you off mute. How you doing today, girl?
I am doing awesome, awesome. Yes, how you doing, sis?
I'm good. Listen, Dr. C is here, and she is for me and for you because we're both entrepreneurs who tend to overwork. So we really need to be listening and probably taking notes as well and listen back to this recording because this is fine-tuned for us. And to any entrepreneur, lady entrepreneurs, you really want to listen up because this is good stuff.
Yes, yes, I agree.
And so, Dr. C, I just want to speak further on, you said taking care of yourself. I know this is something that needs to be done daily. Being mindful and all of these things is something that has to recur just as often as probably eating. So I really want you to speak further on that and how self-care is something that's constant.
Yes, no, that's a great question. And I think, too, it's not just because we hear self-care. It's like, oh, like go to the spa, have a bubble bath, like have a cup of tea or whatever it is that like really fills your cup. But it's like some of that. But it's also forgiving ourselves for not being perfect. Like I call myself a recovering perfectionist and a former people pleaser. That was definitely me. I've gotten much better about that. But it's also learning to please ourselves first. And like I already said, it's not being selfish. It's just really understanding, forgiving if you make a mistake, especially on the entrepreneurial journey. There's going to be so many mistakes, and that's part of life. But I think, too, it's just learning to forgive yourself when mistakes happen and moving on and not getting stuck there. Because I think a lot of times I hear this from clients and just fellow entrepreneurs as well. Like they don't allow themselves that space to be like, okay, yeah, I made a mistake. How do I move on from it? They might get stuck there a little bit or like their mindset, the self comes in, but it's really just acknowledging what happened, sitting with it for a little bit and then moving forward and not getting stuck there because that's where I think a lot of problems can occur. But I think it's like that's one aspect of self, like just really taking care of ourselves. But also I always have like a list of like my three priorities for the day and one thing for my health, one for business and one for relationships because those are the most important things to me. But the first one is health, because if you don't have your health, you can't do all the amazing things you want to do in the world and really pour into your relationships. And the most important relationship is the relationship we have with ourselves. But it's being able to do things like eating healthy, getting enough water, getting enough sleep, getting outside or doing some form of movement. It doesn't have to be hardcore exercise, but movement. Like I love walking in nature. Like I live in Colorado, so it's beautiful and there's so many different hiking trails and just nature in general, but being able to just move our body, even if it's for cooking dinner and like dancing or like it can be something fun and relax and like just being able to move is really important when it comes to taking care of ourselves because I think it's looking at how are we pouring into ourselves in every aspect. So it's not like maybe it's just really taking care of ourselves in that regard, at least for me. And that's what I see with a lot of my clients too. But it's, I think the first, the forgiveness, like when things don't go your way. And then the other aspect is really just hydrating, sleeping, eating enough of the nourishing foods. That's going to really give your brain that fuel and power to continue through the day.
You said you nurture everything. Go ahead.
Listening to her talking about, you know, getting outside, walking, this and the third, and with you being in Colorado, I mean, my cousin, she just recently moved back from that area, and she was telling me, say, it's really nice out there. A lot of people thinking it's cold all the time. If you're not in the mountains, it's really nice. The weather's nice. The breeze, the fresh air, everything is just so wonderful about the area. And the next thing that I wanted to say is I know this group, someone introduced me to this group, and they all go on at noon. They all log on to IG, and they just walk around for an hour, and they talk, and they say stuff to uplift the, you know, someone that's in the community that's on, you know, while they're walking around, and they say, get out and become one with nature, you know, exercise, mm-hmm. you know, build your body up, or whatever you have on your mind, free it right then. Just give yourself that time to just then enjoy yourself and mm-hmm, and get a workout at the same time. So I like that, and I chimed into that group about a couple of times, and I said, that's a wonderful idea because you have people from all over, from all walks of life mm-hmm. that's chiming in, and they all just walking for that hour and getting it in, exercising.
Oh, I love that. I love, like, the positivity, too. I think it's just being able to not do it alone sometimes, right? It's like that self-motivation. But if you're talking to other people and, like, everybody's uplifting one another, I think that just also helps with, like, our mindset, too, when we know we're not alone or just joining that group. Like, that support is so key. I love that you said that.
I've been studying other cultures. I read this book. It's so good. It's called Thrive by Dan Buettner. And when we study other cultures, one of the reasons for longevity around the world, to your point, Dr. C, is they don't do rigorous exercise because they're older, but they constantly moving their bodies, just walking around, or just they plant more. They're constantly moving their body. I find that to be very interesting. And plus, the way that they eat is just so much more clean and different than here in America. So I just wanted to kind of bring your point home. And you guys read that book, Thrive. It was so good. But go ahead.
Yes, I'm adding it to my list.
Okay.
My list keeps growing. I love it.
I'm going to make sure that's the name of the book. But I wanted to ask you why you targeted entrepreneurs specifically for your clientele.
Yeah, well, when I first started my coaching business, this was like almost 5 years ago now, but it was around life and health coaching. And then as I started to really like work with different clients, I just tended to work mostly with female entrepreneurs that kept coming to me. And then I realized too, like the struggles I had in the beginning, where the psychological process of just starting a business and how like that kind of came from my four pillars that I established, but really just seeing that there was a lot of hardship in the beginning of starting a business, the first like 2 to 3 years, and the roller coaster you go on. I feel like it's always a roller coaster, but you have a little bit more control over it as you learn more and get a little more established systems, everything you need to have a successful business. But I think the biggest part was I saw that a lot of like mompreneurs in particular, because they were juggling a little bit more sometimes than my male clients as well, because I started working with both male and female in the beginning of my coaching career, but really seeing that, and I just really felt more inclined, and more of my clients kept seeing mom entrepreneurs and females, so that's kind of just how that niche grew, so that's what was coming into my DMs and my client base as well. But I just saw too that there was such a need of like balancing everything. And I don't think there's always 100% like 50-50 balance with like work and life. That's why I really talk more about like work-life integration now. Because I think that it's understanding what season you are in life or what phase, because it's going to look different and it's going to shift and it constantly pivots, just like entrepreneurship, like with the pandemic and COVID, how so many people had to shift and pivot with what they were doing, how they were doing it. And I feel like that is entrepreneurship, but learning how to handle that stress and like everything that, so it's more efficient for each person. Because I think everybody is different in how they handle it, but like having a system in place for them in particular, what works for them. So that's kind of how it just all morphed into female entrepreneurs. I wasn't like set on that, but that's just kind of how it evolved over the last almost 5 years now.
That's interesting. It kind of, your clientele kind of brought themselves to you. That's
mm-hmm.
really cool.
Yeah.
I love reading books on female entrepreneurs because we, as females, have to deal with another component that the men don't have to deal with as much, and that's first of all, being taken seriously as a female boss, and then two, the fact that you're a woman and you are entrepreneur, so men think that, oh, I'll give you an opportunity if you do this sexual act for me. Like, that happens a lot for female entrepreneurs, and I just, we have that fact, particularly just working period, we go through that, but it's heightened and magnified for a woman entrepreneur because you're at the top of your game, and men, they try to undermine you in that way. I want you to speak to that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm grateful I haven't had that experience, but I know so many women that have, especially in the entrepreneurial space, where they think, oh, like, they're helping me, when in reality there was something expected from the male counterpart or something along those lines. And I think it's extremely unfortunate, and I feel like it happens in every industry, especially a few years ago with the Me Too movement that had really taken off. And I think it's really difficult to have that equality. And there's some incredible men out there that are all about women empowerment, and I think that is great, but there's a lot of men that are not. And it's not a generalization. It's just what's been happening over time, over the last forever, essentially. But I think it's really important that women have that, like I said, like prioritizing themselves, really taking care of themselves, really embodying who they want to be and empowering themselves, and understanding too boundaries. Like, that's one thing I really work on with my clients on, is just knowing what your boundaries are, what you will and will not tolerate, and having that voice and using that voice. And there are times where you come across somebody who your voice is minimized, and it's, how do you overcome that? How do you empower yourself? How do you create a really strong support system and people that are, that have your back, that know what's right and wrong, and being able to establish that? But I think the biggest thing is having your standards and your boundaries very clear cut. And that's something that I always pride myself on, because I didn't really have the best boundaries a few years ago, I would say. Maybe clinically when I was practicing, I definitely did, but I think in my personal life it was a little harder. And that's something over time I've really had to use my voice, and I'm a huge advocate that, for that, and especially my clients, because they are powerful women, powerful, but being able to really establish those boundaries when there is an issue, and it's, who do you go to, who can you go to, and that's really establishing that support system that's going to have your back and want the best for you and not be put in a situation that no one should be put in. But that's at least my take on it.
Queen, I'm gonna give, I want to give you an opportunity to ask Dr. Carolyn some questions, but I want to get this last one off and ask you, do you think that therapy and or counseling are necessary for self-care, or optional, or is it important at all in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely a huge advocate for mental health, like therapy, counseling, whatever a person needs. Like, I personally go to therapy. It's been on and off. I mean, I started going to therapy around the age of 16, actually, and I didn't think I was going to go into the field. I just happened to fall into it. but I think it's really important, because it's, a lot of times we have blind spots where we don't always see what's going on, and I think at the end of the day, it's a village that helps you when it comes to self-care, whatever that looks like. And for me, I mean, like I said, I still go to therapy because no one's perfect. And I think it's just a place for somebody who has a non-biased opinion, that your friends and family are always going to support you, hopefully. But I think it's just, it helps you see stuff and dig a little bit deeper. I don't think you need it all the time, every, like, every day, every year, whatever it is. But I think, like, when we go through different seasons or really hard times in our lives, or just need a quick check-in, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think it's more empowering too, especially if you need it more times than not. But, like, I mean, I didn't go for a couple of years, and then about a year and a half ago, 2 years, I went back into it just to kind of have a quick check-in, and then, you know, went through some stuff personally, and I felt like I needed it at that time. But I think I'm a better person because I am able to go and just have a little extra support that's outside of my family or friends.
My biggest takeaway from that, first of all, that answer was just brilliant, but the fact that you said you want an unbiased opinion because your family and friends are going to be advocates and supporters of you, like, that, that's a nugget for me. It's a nugget. Go ahead, Queen, with your questions or comments.
Well, hearing how she's talking about her line of business, I mean, that's a passion of hers and one that she loves doing it because you can hear it in her voice, you know. It is not just a paycheck. It's something that she really and truly enjoys doing, you know. And I heard her say she also have clients that she have cases where she handled mental health, and that is really spiking here in the United States, really probably all over the world, you know, with all these different tragedies going about, with the different viruses going about. So I'm pretty sure your clientele is very, you know, broad with mental health constantly spiking. How do you handle that whenever you leave work, knowing that you're in there and you're dealing with clients on that level? What do you do to relax and power down and just break away from that mentally when you go home?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I think, like, when I was practicing therapy, it was definitely – I got very burnt out, and that's a huge reason why I left the field. Like I said, I'm a huge advocate for it, and, like, with little things I can help my clients through, but if they need more one-on-one therapy, I can see when they need to be referred to a therapist. I think that's the difference between maybe me and another coach that's out there because of my background, and I'm never going to step outside of my scope and things like that. Very clinically trained in that way. But especially when I was practicing therapy, I definitely, hiking became my like safe place to just unload, especially I was living in California at the time when I practiced. But I loved hiking, just being in nature. That's really where I found a lot of healing. And I was also in therapy at the same time because most great therapists have therapists because you're dealing with so many different emotions. And I would see about like 30 clients on a weekly basis, whether it's individual, family, or couples. So I definitely did that. I would have like read a book and have a cup of tea. I would listen, do meditations. I mean, I still do all of that, but it was really primary for me. And I would go to therapy once a week, especially when I was practicing. Now working with clients, even if they are going through something mentally, I still help them through it, but if they're not needing actual therapy. But it's the same concept for me. It's I have to be in nature at least a few times a week. It's just how I relax. Walking, like I was talking about earlier, is so key. Like my boyfriend will be like, okay, you seem a little irritated. Maybe you should go on a walk. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. but I think it's just like checking myself, but also like I think when you have – a great support system around you too can kind of check you as well if they know like something is really helpful for you. And I think too, it's just I love watching like chick flicks or anything like that. Just kind of get my mind a little bit more at ease, or just watching a funny video can sometimes help too. But it's learning to detach too from your clients. You can only help them so much, and it's like leaving it in that session, making sure they're good to leave, you're good to leave. And like after the session, I mean, but I think the biggest thing is just really making sure that I know I'm drinking enough water, getting enough sleep, because I used to lack a lot of sleep prior to, and just nourishing my body. So making sure I'm eating healthy, eating 3 meals a day. That's like something very important to me as well. But I think it encompasses all of that. I know that's a lot, but I think it's, you know, some days I need a little more than others, and I think I am pretty good at doing that. And the other big thing is in the mornings I do, like, I'll say 3 things I'm grateful for, whether it's in the mirror in the bathroom, if I'm driving somewhere, I'll say it in the car, if I have it in, right when I wake up. And it's 3 different things every morning too. Just recognizing like what I'm grateful for. Like I'm grateful I woke up. I'm grateful for the beautiful sun. I'm grateful it's not cold in Colorado anymore. whatever it is, but really just kind of bringing myself to ground myself in that way. But it is a little different every day. And I have kind of like my little toolbox, and I do that for my clients too, making sure that they have different resources, because some days you need a little bit more, some days you don't, but it's recognizing what's going to be right for that person. And that's what I love about it. Like you get to create this whole toolbox. Like I get to create a whole toolbox with my clients so they can have that. And eventually they don't need me. And that's the goal, but that's what I do. I know that's long-winded.
Well, See, a lot of people use the affirmations. Like you say, you get up and you do three. You have three that you use, and that keeps you grounded. And then hearing that you go out in nature, a lot of people gravitate to that as well, to, let's say, woo-sah, you know, location where they can just power down, clear their mind, da-da-da-da. And I used to hear therapists go see other therapists, and I say, you know what, if you think about that, you are so loaded with other people problems or issues or situation, to not take it on personally, where you have that emotional attachment, you go load that off onto another professional, which is a therapist, and that seems to help deal with their situation. But I said, that's like a therapist going to see another therapist, they go see another therapist, because they probably going to see somebody themselves, you know, to help them out mentally to unload.
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah. It's really important. I think, like, a lot of people, a lot of programs, like, for master's and doctorate programs, they, like, require you to see a therapist if you've never, like, gone through therapy yourself. And I think that's really important, because you need to see it from the other side of the, like, the couch or the chair as well, so you can kind of see what your client's going through, too. I think it's just a different perspective. I get a little concerned if the therapist has never been to therapy, or, like, just especially when you're going through school and stuff, there's a lot of things that come up, or you're in your internship versus being licensed. All those factors play a part, but I think it's really important just to have that mindset that's clear. And, you know, like, different seasons, you might need it a little more, a little less, or need a break, and that's okay. But I think as we are always growing and evolving, like, I mean, I'm a personal development junkie, but I think it's just, like, constantly knowing what's going on. Okay, like, how am I dealing with this? Am I checking in with myself? And each phase of life, too, it's, things are going to come up, and we all struggle in different ways. And, I mean, I'll say it till I'm blue in the face, but, like, there's nothing wrong with going to therapy or counseling, especially if you need it. It just makes you human, that you have something that you're struggling with and you need a little extra help, and there's nothing wrong with that.
So tell me you guys aren't learning something from this. Tell me this is a fantastic. First of all, thank you to everybody that's in the call queue. If you have a question or a comment, press the number one. If you're just tuning in, this is Intro to Info with your host, Nakisha, as well as Queen of Hearts hosting the show with me. We're talking to Dr. Caroline Iskovitz. I'm trying to pronounce that correctly. Help
yeah,
me.
Yeah, you said it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, guys, if you're listening via the internet and you want to call in, again, the number is 515-605-9376. I'm having fun. I hope you are, too. I went on your website. First of all, Queen, you could tell her I love a good brand. And when I approached her, I said, you know, give me something where I can formulate questions. She gave me everything, and it looked good. The brand is good. The brand is there. I was impressed. I always love a good brand. I can't stress that enough, so kudos. But on the front page of your actual website, I like how you said make yourself, it's something to the effect of make yourself a priority. And when it was a connection, because moms, first of all, in a lot of cases don't, and then entrepreneurs probably twice as much don't, because they're putting that business and the children or that family before themselves. And I know that you deal with your share of that. And Queen of Hearts, I know that you can also relate, because you fall into all of those categories. So if you could speak to just that.
Yeah, no, I think it's a huge part of it. I think I struggled with that in the beginning, because I went through a lot of cycles of burnout, whether it was just like from starting from high school, essentially, and I learned that, okay, the pattern of burning out, but now I'm able to catch my cycle of burnout quicker. And I think that's what happens too when you're so in your business, but being able to have other aspects, like delegating things, even in the beginning, and that's the hardest point, because you're just getting started, especially if you have a family, you have a, like, significant other, kids, maybe one business, multiple businesses. But I think it's really keeping it clear and focused on what your priorities are for that day, because it's almost like you have one thing and then 100 things come up from that one thing in a business. And same with life too, because you can't control certain things. A lot of things are out of our control. But what you can control is, okay, what are my priorities for today, and how I really help just being able to prioritize and helping my clients do that is focusing on what are the top three things that are so important to you. And like I mentioned mine earlier, it's health, business, relationships, not in that exact order, but those three are the most important. So I make sure I do one thing every day for those that's going to move everything forward. So for my health, what's moving that forward? Okay, I walked today. For business, okay, I took care of one client thing that I needed to that was important for money, for growing my business. And then my relationships, who did I call, who did I text, who did I spend time with? And so I think when it's hard to do that when you're like in the midst of everything and you feel like everything's chaotic, it's taking a step back. Okay, what is the most important thing today that I need to get done, whatever it is? And sometimes life throws curveballs. If like, especially with COVID and the pandemic, a lot of my clients, family members, things were not going the way they had planned, but it's, where do you shift your focus? How can you shift your focus? And each person's going to be slightly different, but I think it's important to recognize, okay, prioritize this. And it's blocking off time too, okay? Well, I can't really do anything about one situation. Maybe it's out of our control. What is in my control? And really mapping that out for people, because I'm a very visual person, but not everyone's visual. They need to hear it. They need to see it. They need to experience it. So I really find out what's important for that person, and that's why I think it's really prioritizing ourselves so we can, if a family member is not 100%, they're feeling sick, you may need to be going to hospital with them, whatever it is, how do you prioritize yourself so you can show up for that person too? You can show up for your business. You can show up for every aspect. So I hope that answers your question. I don't know if that did, but...
Oh,
to piggyback off of what she said, Markeisha, I also learned how the power of no. I'm not going to let nobody burn me out and drag me along and stream me any further than what I need to do and waste time unnecessarily. So I have learned the power of the word no. And I use it a lot now, more than I ever had when I first started, running my own business.
That's my favorite word, too. It was a really hard one. It's a really hard one, especially, like, being former people pleaser I am. Like, I had to learn the power of no just as well, and that's why, like, boundaries is so key, so key. And that's, like, my third pillar of my business. But, like, when we do say no, it just, we're honoring and respecting ourselves, so others will do the same when we do say no. They might give you a little pushback in the beginning, but... the more you use it, like you're saying, Queen, like the more it's going to come natural. At first, it's hard, but I always have my clients like practice in a mirror. That's what I used to do too. Like if it was an uncomfortable situation or I didn't know how to like just say no in the beginning, it was like practicing to get the courage to say it to certain like business opportunities that I couldn't take on or certain things I couldn't do with family or friends. Being able to just, like, use that word is so powerful. So I just wanted to piggyback off of that because I think it's super important.
I can tell that you are a nice person, Dr. Carolyn, and then I feel like you're just super intelligent. The way that you're able to just speak without saying and, like, really having to pause between, well, you're smart. I'm into Zodiac, so I want to know your sign real quick.
I'm a Leo.
No surprise there. You guys are, yes, it's all over you. My big brother has his hand up, so I'm gonna bring him in. Hi, Michael Gay. Morning.
Hey, my sister. Hello, ladies. How you doing? Happy Saturday. And I'm just sitting back. Okay, I'm sitting back. I had a great day today. But I'm sitting back and listening to the conversation. So I really don't have nothing to say at the moment. I just want to sit back and listen for a moment. I know you only got about maybe 20-something minutes left. But interesting so far.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, you know, I'm talking about, so I'm not going to talk too much about that.
It's all good. You can kind of feel the ladies' night vibe, can't you?
Well, hey, you know, any vibe, I try to check it out. You know, when it's a positive vibe, you might as well, you know, go ahead and vibrate with it, right?
Yes. So, So anybody who's interested in knowing more, Dr. Carolyn, all of the great stuff that you have online, I want to give you the opportunity to let people know where they can find you. We still got 20 minutes, but in case they just itching to know who exactly you are, go ahead and give out information.
Yes, thank you. So you can find me, just Dr. Caroline Iskowitz. I think I'm the only one. It's a weird name, I know, last name. But you can find me on TikTok, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, my YouTube channel. I definitely, I'm very accessible, so just you can DM me on Instagram. That's probably the easiest way to get a hold of me. But I do respond. I do check my messages and everything. So if there's any way I can help anyone, whether it's giving referrals or resources, I'm always happy to help in absolutely any way I can. So, yeah, you can find me there.
I'm curious, because of what you do and what you've done in the past with the whole psychology, someone said that we as humans all have this, it's only a handful of problems that we all have. But not all of us have this, all the handful, but we only have, two handfuls of problems in life. It's just two. So what do you say to that? Do you find that to be true, or is it a more of a myriad of problems?
That's a great question. You know, I think when it comes to just life, a lot of times it might be problems from childhood that were out of your control, or you get into a relationship and the differences from where you come from, your background, that could cause problems. Or just personally, if you're not taking care of yourself, there's other factors that can come from that. But I really think it varies person to person. Some people might have a lot of issues growing up, and they take that and that's their motivator to change the world in a different way. Or it could stunt them in their growth. But I think it goes back to recognizing, finding our blind spots and understanding ourselves first and foremost, and how we relate to the world. Because when we look at things from a different perspective, we could see it's not a problem. It's just something, it's an obstacle that we can overcome, and a problem we can overcome. So I really think it goes back to just understanding the lens we're looking at it through. Because you can grow up in the same household with somebody and have a completely different perspective. It's so funny. I have this conversation with my sister and my brother not too long ago. And we all grew up in the same household, but different times. My sister and I are closer in age. My brother's a little bit younger. And our perspective of growing up is so different. We have the same exact parents, everything like that. But we all have different things that we struggle with and things along those lines. So it's interesting because it really goes back to how we view the world. And that's why I love psychology and still a huge advocate for it. But the fact that we all are so different, and there's still so much we don't know about the human brain. There's a lot of research. However, there is just how we interpret the world is all so different. So we could all think we have two handfuls of problems or one, but it's also how we look at it.
I do have a question now. Listen to what you just said. Because here's the thing that gets me. All right. So in our society, we look at the person that lives in a poor neighborhood as being the more likely to be a criminal. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. Then we look at a person that might live as far as being in a more middle class or upper class be less likely. But if we look at what's happening now, we're seeing some people who are doing some crazy, horrific crimes that don't live mm-hmm. in a very poor society. So you can't say, in my opinion, that it's where you live, but the teachings that you get, wouldn't you say that should be really looked at? Because you do have folks that are in a poor area, a poor black community that, that might, or whatever, that only is around violence. But then you have folks that are in upper class that's not around the violence, but they are committing some of the more horrific crimes. What's your take on that?
Fantastic question. I think it there's a lot when it comes to the neighborhood somebody grows up in, yes. But looking at all the horrific events that have taken place the past couple of years, essentially, there's a lot of issues with, I would go as far as saying parenting, parents being involved, but how can they be involved if they're both working full-time, not really monitoring what kids are doing?
I have to interrupt you for a moment. You said the past couple of years, but no, it's been years. It's just been a break between it, because if you look at Columbine and a few other mass shootings, okay, that wasn't a couple of years ago. That's been years and years ago. If you look at in Florida, that wasn't a couple of years ago. What we're looking at is what you're saying is that just the past couple of years that we want to address, but we're not addressing the overall time that these type of things have happened. So I just want to get your opinion on that.
Yes, thank you for correcting that, because it is the last a long time since Columbine, and it's just completely gone up in numbers of how many times it's happened. And I think a lot of it has to do with lack of awareness of being able to understand, like gun control, all these other factors, but it's mental health, it's gun control, it's lack of monitoring. There's a lot of issues there, and I wish I could unpack all of it. And there is so much more to unpack, but I think the biggest issue is it keeps happening. And why? Why hasn't it been addressed?
What do you think? Is happening? What is your opinion?
I mean, I think it's partly mental health, but I don't think it's all of that. I think it's guns. I think it's lack of awareness of what's going on. I think it's people dropping the ball when there's red flags and they're not being addressed early on.
Right.
Because if you look at...
Yes. I'm sorry, I had to say that. Yes, go ahead.
Because I grew up in Florida, and when the Florida shooting happened, it's just there was a lot of red flags that were missed, and it keeps happening, and it hasn't been stopped. And I don't know why it hasn't been stopped, but I think it goes back to not addressing issues when they first happen, and then it escalates. And that's like what I personally think. But I think people are quick to jump, oh, it's a mental health issue. Yeah, that might be part of it, but I think it's people have access to guns where it's not locked up. I think it's, like I said, people drop the ball and people fall through the cracks, and that's where I think a huge issue of it lies.
Okay, thank you.
That is, I'll tell you, when you say red flags that are missed, exactly.
Yeah.
Because when the Uvalde shooting happened, and they just kept putting the news out, I said, I need to know about this young man. What happened? And I'll be damned. You know, the volatile relationship with his parents, the being teased because he had clothes that were of a poor person. He had a speech impediment that he was teased about all his life. And I'm like, working at Howard would teach you to ask some clarifying questions, like, if he did not just shoot up that place, what happened? And when I learned about that, I just nodded my head, like, and it was interesting. They asked his mom, they interviewed his mom, and I want all of you all's take on this, and they asked her, why did your son do this? And she said he had his reasons, and she kept saying he had his reasons, and it infuriated the people in the comments on the internet. They said that it infuriated the people in the comments, but what do you all get from the fact that she kept saying he had his reasons?
Well, here's the problem I have with that response, is that were you the reason? Were you part of the reason? Were you part of the reason? You know, I mean, I'm really sick and tired of these type of situations of where, first and foremost, I believe in gun control. What do you mean, Michael? It's an amendment. It's a right. No. If you can make it the law that you have to be a certain age to drive a car, if you could make it a law that you have to be a certain age to drink alcohol, you could make it a law to where you have to be a certain age to purchase an assault weapon. Think of the word, assault. It's not a hunting rifle. You're not going to go put this caliber bullet this many times into a damn deer or a rabbit, okay, if you're hunting. You're not going to do that. You won't have any damn meat. You don't kill the damn thing, and the meat is all over the ground, right? This mm-hmm. is meant to kill human beings. It's not a hunting rifle for gaming. It's not. Or an assault weapon. So that needs to be addressed. I truly hate the fact that people are really not understanding that whole point. This is a military weapon. And no 18-year-old should be allowed to go and buy one and walk out the store the same day and kill folks. Because basically you can't. You should not be able to allow to go to a gun show and buy one and go kill folks the same day. Because we are all, I mean, when you're 18 is teen. Think of the word, teen. 19 is teen. 20 is 20. You're a teen from 13 on up to what? 19. There's a reason for that term, right? You're a teenager. Why do you have the ability to buy something that an adult, until you're an adult, to buy one? I don't get it. As I mentioned one time on the show, I said, look, there's a company called Keystone that sells rifles to 5 and 6 years old. They don't sell them to the kids. It's called Cricket, My First Rifle. Parents can buy these so-called hunting guns for their kids to go hunt. Okay. Are you really using it for hunting? Some maybe. But I don't think any child should be able to operate or handle anything that can kill, period. No child whatsoever. The parents should be able to protect their kids. Don't make your kids or don't give you a child who doesn't understand. There are kids who in fact, there's a case going on now of this young man who killed his family. He was one of those video game type folks. He believes it, that, no, they're not dead. They're going to come back. He believes that's what life is. It's a game. Mm-hmm. I'll shut up.
It goes back to the perspective Dr. Curlin was speaking about, how she talked about the family. You were raised in the exact mm-hmm. same household, but the perspectives are different. So true words were never spoken. It's so true. It's credence to her point there, Mike.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. I'll agree with that.
Dr. Kelly, you have any rebuttal?
No, I mean, I agree with Michael. I think there no child should have access to a gun. I believe in having gun control. I believe that it's really being able to understand what they're having access to at such a young age. There's no reason for it. I actually did a YouTube video after the Texas shooting, and I got very emotional because, like, one, my mom and dad were in the school system. My mom just retired last year as an elementary school teacher, and it really breaks my heart, but it's what are we doing? So I put some resources in there, what I had read online, but I think it's really about what do we do? It's not the thoughts and prayers. It's what are the actions being taken to stop
I think what really went wrong, and I don't, I mean, some folks may disagree with me. I don't give a damn. Mm-hmm. But I think mm-hmm. what was wrong when we took the rights of being a parent, when you have to chastise your child, you should chastise them. Kids now will call the cops on their parents in a heartbeat. You know, we allowed the government to turn around and say, oh, well, no, you can't spank your kid. Can't spank your kid. There was a story about a woman whose kid was acting very unruly inside of a grocery store here in Georgia. And the parents spanked them on the backside and everything. And the grocery store called the cops. They took her to jail. And the customer said, no, you can't do this. She was controlling her child. Now think about that. And the case was dropped. The case was actually dropped because people came to the defense of the parent, apparently chastising her child being unruly. Now, I see kids now that just do what the hell they want to do because the parents are too damn scared to do anything or say anything. Think about it.
So, thank you, Big Brother. I really want to take this last 4 or 5 minutes to just talk about specific self-care for us all, because part of what we just mentioned about the reasons for these heinous crimes. Sometimes it is mental health. It's a lot of things. But I don't want people to snap because they're overwhelmed. And that's part of the reason why self-care is in place in the first place. So specific things that we can do, and Dr. Carolyn said this needs to be done daily. She shared a few of her things, but just, and she said the mind and the body and, you know, take care of your health. All these things need to be nurtured constantly. And I just really want to bring that home as we get out of here. I'll just give a random tip of mine. It's just I have 952 students on my caseload. So the one thing that I have to do is get away from people. Just get away from me, all of you. And I shut the door, and I need quiet because I'm dealing with them. Personalities. So that's a specific thing that I need for my own self. And Queen, you got a family, you got a lot going on. And make it specific to your own life. What is something that you can tell just people listening as a tip with regard to self care?
The question was for me.
For you, yeah.
My self-care, I'm similar to our guests. I mean, I gravitate to nature. I sit there and I come one with nature, and I would stay there all day, turn his phone off, no phone, no tablet, no computer, no nothing. That's my time. You know, because I had to start loving on me, getting back to loving on me, doing what I love for so many years, putting everybody else in the forefront. I gravitated and came back and circled back to loving Queen, you know. Yeah, and I love being by the water. You already know that, sis. I'm always telling you, hey, we went to the ocean. We chill like that. And like she said, surround yourself with positive people. I'm doing that more and more daily. Daily. And cutting out all that negativity. Because that negative energy, you be around here crying, sad, depressed, for what? You done took in so much negative energy, listen to all these different problems, and now you see why. Yeah.
And so, and thank you, Queen. Thank you so much. And so, Big Brother, I would love for you to, as a man, to offer up something, and then Dr. Carolyn, I would love for you to round it off. This was some profound something you want to end it with regard to self-care. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, I agree with Queen. You know, I do this. You know what I do. I do a show. But outside of my radio show, I mean, I just went through one of the craziest weeks I've ever had. And it was a lot of frustration, you know, going on. There was some concern about a certain co-host. We hadn't heard from them for a while. It, you know, it drains your energy, you know. You know, stress is real. But like Queen said, you got to take time out for yourself. You can't hold all that in, you know. You can't hold all that frustration in because eventually it may explode in the wrong way. So there's times you need to remove yourself from people, and I do that from time to time. Like she said, go take a walk. Fortunately, here in Georgia, there's trails that I can go on and, you know, relax. It's hot as hell here, but you don't even really have to go on a trail and take a walk. Just stay in the house and just meditate. Put on some soothing music, and relax yourself. It's not about the body as much as the mind. The mind is more important because the mind controls the body. If your mind is messed up, it's not going to let your body do what you want it to do. You understand my point? So mentally, I do take those breaks. I do take that time to just close my eyes, put on some smooth music. I've even gotten to the point I'll play some just stuff where there's just rain, the sound of rain. And you'll be surprised how soothing that is to your mind. And you'll go to sleep, you'll wake up refreshed. That works for me.
Thank you, bro. Dr. C, take us out of here.
Well, I just want to comment. I love what everyone has said and shared. I think it's all really important. And, yes, it starts with the mind. And just a quick little tip, too, that I wanted to mention is journaling. Just writing it down, getting it out of your head can be so therapeutic as well, and just really taking care of that mind because it's not sitting there festering or ruminating. But at the end of the day, it's just remembering we all matter. And you deserve to take care of yourself so you can show up in this world because, like I said, I think everybody matters and everyone deserves to be here. And you all have a purpose. Everybody has a purpose. And just really take care of yourself from the inside out. And that starts with the mind.
Thank you so much. So much. You were fantastic. I learned a lot, guys. Thank you for your listenership. You've been tuned into Intro to Info. We're here each and every Saturday from 9 until 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We hope that you have a productive week and just take care of yourself is the bottom line. All right, we're out for now. Good night. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.